Well, minimal interest or not, if George Bush or Al Gore make it to the White House, each of them will obviously bring their own personal stamp to the culture of the place. We asked the writers at modernhumorous.com to take an educated guess about what those two different White Houses might look like.
And finally, there is no flash photography or internal combustion permitted inside the White House. Thank you. Let's begin by examining the personal touches President Gore has added to the Oval Office. The picture mounted to your left is one of the president's own abstract watercolors. Its title is Foreign Policy. President Gore says he's no authority on painting, but he often cites influences from such masters as Frank Stella, Mark Rothko, and Joseph Elbers, as well as Mary Cassatt, Chuck Close, Willem de Kooning, and Robert Motherwell, and Kandinsky. Let's move down the hallway to it. Do you hear that? President Gore is listening to Doc Watson. Since the president's a staunch opponent of cultural pollution, he's bleeped out all references to murder and violence against women. Let's step inside the White House library. It looks like the president is rereading his favorite novel, Stendhal's The Red and the Black. Now, for those of you who haven't read it, The Red and the Black follows the adventures of a smooth-talking seducer from the country whose sexual conquests are his undoing. Other works which implicitly critique former President Clinton include All the King's Men, Don Juan in Hell, and The Iliad.
There's a yellow rose in Texas.
And finally, there is no flash photography or abortion permitted in the White House. Thank you. Let's begin in the Oval Office. The first work mounted to your left is a landscape by El Paso painter Tom Lee. President Bush says he's no authority on art, but doesn't the next work, the head of a convicted killer mounted on a pike, complement the harshness of Lee's desert vista? Let's move down the hallway to a... Do you hear that? President Bush is listening to the soothing soul sounds of Aaron Neville. The president enjoys the gentle, non-threatening arrangements, which in fact mirror the affable, non-threatening persona that got him elected. Let's step inside the White House library. Well, it looks like the president has been reading the First Lady's favorite novel, The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. And look, here is the president's favorite Marmaduke bookmark, still carefully tucked between pages 6 and 7. The First Lady has taken this room as her personal project. There's still a bit of the school librarian in her. She charges the president 50 cents a day for overdue books. Currently, the president owes $23 for Baseball America's 1999 almanac.
Well, we have left the White House. We're back in Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson here with Barbara Kruger. Barbara, it struck me as we were listening to that in fact, it's more fruitful from a joke-making point of view to make fun of the Gore's cultural tastes. I wonder if, in the course of this campaign, as he and the Democratic team in general have made a bigger deal of showing themselves to be culturally aware and culturally literate, if they're sort of preaching and playing to the converted.
I don't think they're playing to the converted this year, with Nader still having 3-5% of the vote in really tough states like Michigan and even in California on a certain level. I think that that does speak to a particular demographic which he still needs to pay attention to.
Thank you, Barbara Kruger, so much for joining me here today in Studio 360. I enjoyed talking to you about all the intersections and walls that exist between culture and politics.
Well, I enjoyed it too. Thank you.